Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. Ever since the 4th of October, the Second General Assembly of the Synod of Bishops for Africa brought together over 200 bishops plus experts, both religious and lay, from across this continent and beyond, to discuss the themes of reconciliation, justice and peace in the Vatican itself. Among the bishops present was the Archbishop of Accra in Ghana, Gabriel Charles Palmer Buckle. He was kind enough to sit down with me in our studios here towards the end of the synod, which ends on Sunday, 25th of October, and comment on this great meeting.
This is my very first experience, and I like to make it clear immediately that it is the second special assembly on Africa of the Synod of Bishops. And from that point of view, what really impressed me was to understand what a Synod of Bishops is. It is the whole church gathered together around the successor of St. Peter, the Pope, who invited us to come and sit and think about Africa. And of those who were invited, apart from them being overwhelmingly from Africa, there are delegates from the United States of America, from Latin America, from Asia, from Oceania, from the Middle East, and from Europe. And so the first thing that struck me was this sense of ecclesial communion. The whole church is gathered together to think about Africa. And from the sharing that went on from these delegates, they made us aware of the fact that they were looking forward to results that would come out of this assembly, the synod, even for themselves also. Archbishop Wilton Gregory from the United States of America, representing the U.S. CBC, told
Catholic
us,
Bishops Conference.
Right of America, also told us clearly that when you talk about reconciliation, when you talk about justice, the Catholic Church in America has the same mission to its people also there. Then the bishop who came from Latin America, representing Latin America, he also told us they also have racial integration to worry about. They have social inequalities that call for justice, call for reconciliation. The bishops who came from Asia and Oceania, they told us similar stories. And even Europe, we were very surprised to hear from Europe that even Europe is still battling today with issues of reconciliation. They've had to do so after the World War. Today they have to do it on a cultural level, on a level of justice, particularly with reference to migrants who are coming in here, most of our young people from Africa coming. So it gives you immediately to understand that the problem of reconciliation, justice and peace is not only for Africa, and that this synod can come out with results that would benefit the entire church. The second thing that I've enjoyed is the sense of being encouraged as an African bishop, because the Holy Father in his opening mass said it, that Africa is the spiritual lung of the world. He didn't say even the Catholic Church. He said just Africa. And he went on to say, however, Africa is running the risk of being infected by two viruses, which we must do everything we can to prevent. The first one, he said, was practical materialism, which has underpinnings of relativism and also very nihilistic sort of cultures, the culture of death. And he said, this is coming from Europe and the developed world into Africa. We have to do something about it.
The Western world.
The Western world, he said.
Not just Europe.
Europe and, the first world, so-called the Western world. Then he talked about the second virus, which is religious fundamentalism, that has underpinnings, political interests, also seeking to destabilize this continent that is very religious, but has always had a very peaceful coexistence. Now, from what the Pope said, from all that we have heard from cardinals in the Roman dicasteries, and from our own delegates and participants, I got the impression that, or at least I'm convinced, that this is not a synod sitting and looking at Africa as a sick patient needing, you know, help or needing healing medication, but rather as parents who are seated with their young adult son or daughter who is full of creativity, who is full of vitality, who is growing, has idealisms, and is should be helped to face the challenges that are coming in order to become a very fruitful, you know, to have a fruitful future. Because Africa is blessed with a lot of vocations. The Catholic population in Africa since 1978 has tripled. And it, from 55 million, it's now about 164 million, which is 17.5% of the population in Africa. Then when you talk about priests, priests have increased from about 23,000 to about 36 or so thousand. The religious, consecrated men and women have also increased exponentially. Seminarians have increased, catechists, name it, Catholic schools in Africa, Catholic media in Africa, Catholic social services in Africa play such a major role. So as a synod, we have met to see this young adult continent growing and to see how to help this country deal with issues of reconciliation, justice, and peace. So I've enjoyed my stay here. There's been a lot of, call it, communication amongst us which would not go into the papers. When you go to any meeting or any synod, you are enriched by the, you know, very personal relationship and interpersonal relationships that can never be put down on paper. We'll leave here with all these and, of course, great expectations of what the Pope's post-synodal exhortation will be.
Well, what are the issues you hope will be highlighted by the Pope in the post-synodal apostolic exhortation?
I think he's going to give us an agenda for the next 10 years or so to work hard on issues of reconciliation. Reconciliation with God, that means evangelization. Reconciliation with ourselves, that means learning to accept who we are, created by God, put in Africa for a purpose. We have a mission there. Reconciliation individually with our own selves. One would say feeling good in our own skins and learning to offer what we have to offer. And then reconciliation amongst tribes, ethnic groupings, reconciliation on the political plane, reconciliation on the intellectual plane, and the rest. So I believe that reconciliation is going to be the agenda. In fact, it has already started as the agenda of the African church, you know, where we have to work very hard to make sure that Christ, who is our reconciliation, Christ, who is our justice, Christ, who is our peace, really permeates our lives, our social, our political, our economic, and our individual lives, in order to make the church truly salt of the earth and light of the world. So I am expecting a tall order from the Holy Father himself.
Do you think the Western world understands Africa at all? What's your perception on this?
I think the Western world has been misinformed too much about Africa. I don't know whether it's because of the dark skin that we have, that they only treasure hearing bad news about Africa. For instance, the impression is that there is war in Africa. There are as many as 56 countries in Africa, even though officially they say 53. And of the 56, only about 12 have different forms of conflict going on. Only 4 of them have real wars going on. And everybody thinks that the whole of Africa is at war. One. Number two, it is true that we have diseases like malaria, like tuberculosis, like HIV and AIDS, which is you know, has been rising for quite a while. It is really true. But in a continent, if I'm not mistaken, that has a population of about, I wish I could say the exact population. The tendency is to exaggerate how much sickness and disease are in Africa. It is true there are. We cannot close our eyes to it. Then there are social issues in Africa. But tell me, which continent, does not have HIV/AIDS patients, does not have tuberculosis patients, does not have, you know, unemployment on the rise, does not have interracial or inter, you may not call it tribal, you know, conflicts and the rest. Which continent does not have political, you know, misgivings?
Yes, but the images that reach us from Africa express extreme violence, or are very strong anyway.
That's what people tend to bring out. I mean, I've been in the United States of America. If you went to America, you went to New York, where once in a while there's a shootout, or even Washington, D.C., and took out a picture and said, that is America, that would be exaggerating, am I right? Or if you went into Latin America, you went into Brazil, went into some of their favelas and just took pictures of children eating from the dung heap and the rest, or in the Philippines. Does that make Philippines or does that make Brazil? So what we are trying to say is that you come to Africa and you would see that the media, unfortunately, has exaggerated what we have as our negative parts. But we have a lot of very positive parts, and that is, I mean, it's coming out very, very gradually. Let me give you a very funny example. In soccer, or football, as they call it here, you know, in Europe, how many African players are playing here in Europe and are playing so very well? Come to think of it, they did not have all the facilities that their European counterparts had when they were kids, and yet they've gone on to excel. Look at how many blacks are excelling all over the place. Nobody says Africans are excelling. Kofi Annan, African. Boutros-Ghali before him, an African. Let me take it this way. Usain Bolt, the fastest man on earth, is of African descent. Or if you go to the United States of America, most of their athletes are of African descent. Not only that, entertainers of African descent. When you go into the sciences, quite a lot of Africans are doing a lot of work over there. So I believe it's getting time that the world woke up about what Africa would be able to contribute. And maybe as a punchline, you have President Obama, Barack Hussein Obama in the United States of America. Well, whether we like it or not, America voted him because America thought he was the right person. You know, and he came to Ghana. He encouraged us very much. What he said was, you can. Yes, you can. That has been his motto. He told us plainly we shouldn't expect anybody to come and do it for us. Our destinies are in our own hands, in the hands of the youth, in the hands of the politicians, in the hands of the traditional leaders, in the hands of our people. And he said, we must do something about it. What he said was, if you are doing something about it, you can be sure you have an ally in America. So he encourages us to be self-reliant, to work towards self-sufficiency, and then we can look elsewhere for help. So what better news can there come from Africa?
At this synod, you've been discussing reconciliation. Now, Africans often tend to pinpoint the pain connected to the colonial legacy, putting the blame on Westerners for all that happened then. Is that still so, do you think, in Africa? Or
there are historical facts that we cannot close our eyes to. Some of the woes we have today are because of our colonial past and our neo-colonial geopolitical interest even today. I mean, Ghana exports gold. Ghana does not determine the price of gold. How is that possible? Britain takes the gold, refines the gold, makes it into jewelry. Britain determines how much the gold must cost. Ghana exports wood. Ghana does not determine the price of its wood. Germany, America gets the wood, refines it into, you know, call it a TVB or anything at all, and they determine the price. I mean, this is unfair. So we cannot close our eyes to the fact that there are neo-colonialist interference with our development. But I don't also think we can waste our time doing the blame game. We have what it takes still more to do very well. I mean, it's a continent whose resources are still there. Natural resources, we still have so much of it, we don't even know what to do with it. Human resource is coming out. We have them. And so I believe with good governance and being very watchful over what I may call the Pope's call for the two viruses, we should be able to stand on our own very well. I have had reason once and the other time to say that the third millennium is going to be for the third world. And I'm very convinced about it. And this synod gives me hope to know that the third world has a mission towards the so-called first world, and if any, the second world. So we are ready to do our bit. We've been doing it. It has never been acknowledged. We are going to do more.
Is there anything you want to add?
Oh, if there is anything at all, I would say that migration was one of the issues we dealt with. And it's worrisome to see how many of our young people are so fascinated by what is happening in the first world, and all of them are trying to pull into the first world. We've been discussing migration. You cannot stop people from migrating because it is a right. It's a human right. But what we have come to say is that young people who are very qualified professionally and everything, we want to encourage them to stay at home. And we are, call it this way, getting involved with our governments to make sure that they create an environment where their young people, qualified professionals, will stay at home and contribute to the building up of our nations in Africa. That is a fact. Then if there are other young people who want to expatriate because, a person must be free to live anywhere he or she feels comfortable, we want them to do so with the right papers and documentation so that they don't go creating a problem for themselves by risks of their lives, for their families, for the countries where they live, Africa, and also to the new countries where they are going because of this unfortunate xenophobism that is now creeping in, even into Europe, who are supposed to be those who wrote out the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Now, when it comes to the human rights of so-called illegal immigrants and refugees, Europe is becoming very, very xenophobic. It's worrisome. And that is where I believe, as a Christian church, as a Catholic church, we're talking with our brother bishops in these various countries to lobby and advocate for a very human face in dealing with these illegalities. Laws should not come that contradict the same Universal Declaration of Human Rights,
You were listening there to the Archbishop of Accra, Ghana, Gabriel Charles Palmer Buckle. My thanks go to him for sharing with us his impressions on the Second General Assembly of the Synod for Africa there. He'll soon be back with us to speak further about his nation this time. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.